This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I love hearing that. It was maybe the only time we've ever talked about Raging Bull.
Yeah.
On this show. And you wanted to know what Fozzie Bear's role was. That just stands out.
Yeah, right,
like how,
right,
okay, how odd that was to even ponder.
Yeah. I'm an odd. I can be odd, Mike.
Yeah, it must have been on a Friday. Late. In the off season with no pick segment. That really demands your focus.
Right. Yeah.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Pleased to be joined on the West Her Hotline by Brad Spielberger of Pro Football Focus, PFF, on Twitter at PFF_Brad. Salary cap analyst for the site. Former Vikings legal intern. Brad, what an interesting career path it seems you've had. What was that job like, being in the law department of the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, certainly been interesting so far. Definitely interesting, but had nothing to do with football, which obviously, as we know, is not quite as exciting. So more just, signing documents and stuff like that. So excited to now be doing, more roster construction and cap and contracts.
I got to be careful whether I want to even say this. My wife is an attorney, and maybe this is right. I'll just try to couch it. Maybe this is right that, like, an attorney might think that the rest of the organization in the Vikings in this case might just like have it in for the attorneys. Is that the real world?
That might be the case at every company. I think that might be the case everywhere. No one loves their lawyers until they need them, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Why are you making my life so hard? Stop doing these things that make me have to defend you.
Stop doing your job. All right. Well, congrats to you. You're covering the league here. It seems cool. We're talking about the salary cap a little bit lately. All the time, too, but specifically in terms of Josh Allen, Brad, let's start there. So there's no contract extension yet for Allen, or for that matter, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, other quarterbacks drafted famously together in 2018. In an article at The Ringer today by Kevin Clark, Brandon Bean gave some comments about how, just to summarize, it's maybe tricky here with how the cap has moved down this year and then presumably up, maybe way up in the near future. What do you know about how that reality is making it tough for teams to, if it is, to get deals done?
I think it's a little bit of posturing from Brandon Bean. I think both sides back and forth this offseason have definitely, I'm not going to say negotiated via the media, but have, put some feelers out there and kind of put some words out to suggest one way or the other, how this deal is shaping up. The cap drop obviously affects all 32 teams and makes things a bit more difficult. But Brandon Bean has been pretty masterful in his handling of the salary cap, in large part because of these early extensions, like a Deion Dawkins, like a Tre'Davious White. And I think the smart move here is if you lock this deal in with Allen now, even if it approaches a Patrick Mahomes level value, you know, when the cap does spike in 2023, so not next year but 2 years from now, you know, that deal might look like a discount in a couple years.
Yeah, so does that lend itself to the thought that the team – I was talking about this some yesterday. Like, who's more motivated to get a deal done, right? The Bills could think that they'll get a lower price now than if Allen stacks another season like last season on top of it. But that's mitigated by, I don't know, actually seeing him stack another season like that on top of it, and maybe that would be worth the peace of mind to pay the extra whatever, however many millions of dollars per year that might end up being. Like, the way you look at it, who should be more motivated to get a deal done on a quarterback like this, the team or the player?
So, yeah, I think you laid it out perfectly, and I think the prevailing thought for years has been you got to get this extension done as early as you can. You're going to save a couple million dollars a year, and if a player continues to play, you know, at the level that he had been, then, you know, it's totally worth it for you. But, you know, recency bias is a very real thing, and this offseason we saw both Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, you know, fall apart last year and then get traded this offseason. So they were guys where the team ended up paying about $30 million in cash, you know, more than they would have if they just let their contracts play out through the fifth-year option. So I think all three teams are a bit more cautious now, kind of thinking maybe we'll see a second year. Yes, Allen was MVP caliber last year, but obviously, you know, it took a little while to get there. So maybe that is kind of their thinking now.
Brad Spielberger of PFF, our guest here on WGR. I figure we'll get back to the Bills, but you mentioned Goff and Wentz. Brad, like, this is our first conversation, I think, with you. And I might represent maybe the majority of NFL fans where I just sort of like, you know what, with the salary cap, I know it's real. I know that there's actually a job to do here, but look at those two players. I mean, just how when does a team ever not get out of a bad deal, right? Like, with the money Goff and Wentz were commanding and they still both were traded. Maybe you have a lot of experience with in conversations with people who, you know, say what they say about, like, just the seriousness with which to take the salary cap. You want to defend it? You want to what can you say about, like, sort of how the cap is perceived?
Well, you know, I think the prevailing thing that gets lost a lot is that cash is the bigger constraint than the salary cap. So if a team and more really an owner wants to manipulate the salary cap, wants to push money down the line, like we've seen the Saints and Eagles do, then they can spend, you know, let's say $250 million in cash under a $200 million cap for a certain year. They really can't push the envelope. But, you know, the Pegulas are not, you know, the Bensons down in New Orleans. They're trying to get a stadium funded right now entirely by, you know, the city of Buffalo or the state of New York, whatever it may be. So it's also, you know, there's that consideration as well, that if you're going to be a team like that, you have to be the owner that wants to spend a ton of money. The cap is real. Contracts can be manipulated, but it does always come back. It's a credit card. So it always, eventually the credit card bill comes due.
Right. Were you sort of amazed that those trades happened, by the way? Either one of them, Goff or Wentz?
Yeah, 100%. They both, so Goff went first, and he set the record for the most dead money, which is essentially just salary cap space allocated to a player no longer on the roster. So his trade set the record at $24.7 million for the most dead money charge to a single player ever. And then Carson Wentz came along and topped that, set the new record at $33.8 million, which is what the Eagles are paying him on the salary cap in 2021 to play for the Colts, or, you know, to sit on the bench for the Colts, maybe, it's looking like. So, yeah, definitely surprising because those are both record-breaking moves.
Right, and the teams do have to deal with that dead money, and I guess until it's your team, you can keep your sort of your eyes focused on the games and just imagine that the salary cap isn't a problem. But even the Bills have gone through it. I mean, pretty recently, 2017 into 2018, they were carrying a ton of dead money from guys that, when McDermott and Bean got here, they cleaned out Darius and Watkins, specifically the two biggest names there. And that kept them from filling out their roster. You know, it took a year for them to really go out then and finally upgrade the receiving core and the offensive line and sort of build around Josh Allen.
And I think that is the blueprint that teams try to follow, is that you don't want to prolong it. You don't want to spread that out. I thought the Bills were very smart in taking all of that dead money. Like you said, they actually led the NFL in the 2017 season. They had over $50 million in dead money, if I remember correctly, you know, when the cap back then was about $177. So almost a third of the salary cap that year was going to, like you said, Marcel Darius and some other guys not on the roster. And they did somehow make the playoffs that year, but like you said, they had to wait to really address several spots on the roster, offensive line, wide receiver, you know, obviously replace Tyrod Taylor and, you know, go through all of that. But yes, that is, it does make things difficult.
Brad Spielberger of PFF, our guest here on WGR. So Brad, one other thing, or one thing you hear a lot, and it seems to make sense, is like you get your first round pick quarterback, like Allen was in 2018, for example. And, you know, you see teams now, they get them on the field because of the rookie deal window, right? Like, this way we can spend our money, in at least in a sort of general sense, basic sense, spend our money on other players. Then the day comes where you pay the guy all that, and it's a different, you know, a different equation. Just how practically, like, how big a point is that? You've got Allen here on a Super Bowl contender still on that deal. Does that afford the big advantage to the Bills that you would generally hear people say that it does?
110%. You know, the rookie contract quarterback, if he's a good player, is the biggest surplus value you can get in the NFL. And it enables you to make moves like trading a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs. You know, it just allows you to spend more elsewhere, bolster your roster elsewhere, knowing that you're saving, what, $30, $40 million per year on that quarterback. And so once you extend him, which you still should do, and I don't like the excuse that it's, you can't build out a good roster with a pricey quarterback, you can. Just the margin for error is a little bit slimmer. You can't keep everyone. You know, you have to let some guys go. But again, going back to the beginning, I mean, Brandon Bean saving some money on Trey White and Deion Dawkins and even Darrell Williams this offseason, Matt Milano, getting those deals done early, all those things factor into, you know, having more margin to add value, add depth when you do pay Josh Allen.
So do you think these three quarterbacks that have already been mentioned here, right? Maybe Mayfield, I mean, he was the number one overall pick that year, but he hasn't produced, like Lamar Jackson's been an MVP. Allen was an MVP runner-up last year. Mayfield has not reached those levels yet, but still all three guys are eligible for extensions. Do you think there's a bit of a waiting game going on, either on the quarterbacks' sides of these things and their representatives not wanting to be the first one to dive into the pool, so to speak, or even from the teams not wanting to be the one that, like, sets the market, so to speak?
Yeah, I think both sides. I think when you are a quarterback in this situation, you understand that as soon as the first guy goes, you can then use that benchmark and try to get a little bit above that. They obviously want to compare themselves and stack themselves up against the other guys. I also think it's very interesting that, like you said, Mayfield was the first overall pick, but not only has he not really shown the same flashes, also the GM that drafted him is not the GM of the Browns now. Obviously, Andrew Berry, you know, has since come in. So there's not that, I'm not going to say, you know, the GM wants to justify or show they made a great draft pick by paying the guy a ton of money, but that is a variable there. So, yes, both sides are definitely playing a little game of chicken. They want the other guys to go first so they can come in and, you know, add $500,000 per year on top of that or whatever it is. And I think once one gets done, then I think the other two should fall into place.
Well, Brad, I mean, you kind of started with a compliment toward Bean. It just seems like such a right on the mark kind of attitude to have about what they've done here, what he's done. Like, you've got a very good team, and financially a lot of things have worked out, including how key players on the roster that seemed perhaps like they were about to leave in free agency didn't. And Bean was also able to make that work. I mean, we're sort of used to in sports, those guys get away because that's business. And here, Matt Milano, for example, that did not happen. So it almost feels like we can't say enough about, like, the job that's been done here.
He's put on a masterclass. He is firmly in the top, you know, five or whatever number you want to put out GMs since taking over. I think what they did a great job of is handling all the non-football stuff, which I think people forget about and gets lost over. You know, all the renovations and fixing the facilities and getting a world-class training facility and medical personnel, all the other stuff that makes players want to come. I mean, look, I'm not telling you guys. You guys that want to come to Buffalo, New York in freezing cold weather and play for a franchise, that, you know, hasn't always been, you know, associated with winning. And now you have guys that, you know, want to go there, that are excited to be Buffalo Bills, that do not want to leave. And I think that all reflects back on him. And then from a football perspective as well, he's just been excellent.
Brad Spielberger, our guest. Go ahead, Bulldog.
You really like, I mean, you think about the list of guys. Like, we would have spent, before Zardavius White and Deion Dawkins got their extensions, I think we spent some time, I wouldn't say we like spent an indulgent amount of time on it, but looking at Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, both from the same draft, and then Dawkins and Tre'Davious White and Milano, you can go down to lower tiered guys like John Feliciano. There's no way we're keeping all these guys, right? We're going to have to pick. Do you want the tackle? Do you want the corner? Do you want the linebacker? Do you want the quarterback? Of course you want the quarterback if he performs. And, I mean, they don't have an extension done with Edmonds yet, but at this point, I'm done expecting them not to keep guys that they want to keep, because all they do is keep guys they want to keep. And I think it will in some way blow my mind when if and when they get both an Allen extension and a Edmonds extension done on top of the other key guys that they've already locked up, because you'd expect to lose one, if not more than that, of those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. And there's a snowball effect where you take care of guys, and we've even seen another example is guys that are willing to take pay cuts. We saw with what, Vernon Butler, we saw with Starla Tulele, like guys that trust that he has their best interests in mind, that them and the coaching staff and Sean McDermott are going to put them in positions to succeed. They're going to be competitive. They're going to advance in the playoffs. And maybe they can sign elsewhere after a good season and recoup that loss they kind of took from taking a pay cut. So it's all global. It all relates to each other. It will be very interesting to see Tremaine Edmonds, now that Fred Warner has reset the linebacker market. If he has a great, if he makes the first, all-pro again this year, he could be asking for $20 million per year next offseason. I don't think he's going to get done this offseason. I think Allen would be the only one of those two guys for this offseason. But, next offseason will be interesting if they can afford to pay him, top dollar right off ball linebacker. But they don't have an expensive edge rusher at the moment. They did great with Trey White, so it's certainly possible.
Do you have a thought quickly, Brad, on Stephon Diggs and his contract? Like, with his, I don't know what you might all put into the formula here. His age, I mean, he's performed at a super high level, and now he's on a team that, really needs him, and it's, well, he probably was before too, but like this is a sort of a perfect set of circumstances for him. How should the Bills want to play it with Diggs?
It's going to be very fascinating, because whenever you trade a guy, trade for a player, you spend a first-round pick, like in his case, it gives the player a lot of leverage. You've already invested in them. They understand that. And so they know you can't really let them go because, it doesn't look great. But at the same time, he has 3 years left on his deal, so you do have some control in that respect. But so did DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona, right? And he set the wide receiver market. I know there's been conversations about how to view the wide receiver market, and it did experience a correction this offseason in a negative sense. But I still think for him, absolute floor of Julio Jones' average per year of $22 million. Realistically, he probably should be asking for, $24, $25 million per year. I don't think it would be unreasonable to ask for that, and I think the Bills may have to just pony up there.
Yeah. Devontae Adams comes to mind, too, when you lay that out. Didn't he just say it? Like, I deserve, not a direct quote, but I deserve to be the highest paid guy. Like, he talked like that after Rodgers showed up in Green Bay. He's at 22, maybe, or... What is that right? And Hopkins 27, if I remember that right. So
right. Yep.
Okay. On quarterbacks again here quickly, Brad, if you don't mind, Garoppolo in San Francisco. I know you're following that. So that's a $24 million number, and they can just cut him whenever. But they haven't done that. I know there are people that think they should or even will.
One of the biggest surprises to me of the entire offseason is the fact that he still has that base salary. Every day that he shows up to camp and could get injured, and it's the biggest salary in the NFL, $24.1 million, is completely shocking to me. Even if you don't cut him, the fact they haven't approached him after that trade and said, hey, look, we like you, we want you to be here, but you're going to have to take a pay cut. We saw it across the NFL. I'm shocked. Does he get traded? I don't really think so. He has no trade clause, so he'd block anything he doesn't love. But the fact that they haven't chopped that salary in half, to me, is really, really shocking.
Do you think it might mean that they will release him here? Like, maybe that's what, right?
It's certainly possible. Or they find a trade partner, and then they get him on board. He agrees to rework his deal so that the acquiring team can kind of bring him in and make it work. But, yes, there was a quote. I think Schefter had Kyle Shanahan on his podcast recently, and he was talking about how it's the best Jimmy Garoppolo has ever looked. And I saw some former GM on Twitter said, all right, they're getting ready to trade him now. They're getting ready to get rid of him. So I think that might be true.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, there's so much money to have if you've got a better guy on a rookie contract just breaking the door down, you know, and it seems like it's starting to sound or feel that way in San Francisco a little bit with what's been going on this week. It seems like Lance is starting to really open up a lot of eyes.
Yep, definitely.
It's been an interesting offseason for Adam Schefter and the 49ers. Right?
No question.
All the Mac Jones business there after they traded up. So, see what happens. Okay. Brad, hope you're okay. Have you got sirens, maybe planes going on behind you? I hope there's no trouble.
I'm sorry about that. No, I live in New York City, so I apologize.
No, please don't.
The phone call.
Please don't.
No apology needed. It was interesting to hear some of it.
We're glad you're safe. Okay.
I'm sorry. Right the window. My apologies.
Please don't worry about it. Thank you, Brad. Nice to talk with you today.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
All right, Brad Spielberger of PFF on Twitter at PFF_Brad. I could do well to learn a lot more about the cap than I know.
The second siren, by the way, was me. I don't know if you heard a second siren at the end of our conversation. Yeah, I covered. I try to put my hand, like I'm doing it right now, over the microphone when I hear that coming. But it took me a moment because I thought it was him again, and then I realized, oh no, this is a fire engine barreling down Amherst Street. I think I'll try to deflect the sound as best I can.
So Joe, did we have a siren or just each of those guys?
There was none I noticed, but I could have been lost in the mix. I wouldn't have even known.
That would have been amazing if one conversation, each of the three had sirens. But you guys have windows open.
Yeah, our windows do not open, and we're not like right on a street.
So. And my windows aren't open. I got the air conditioner going, but this was real, real loud. It would have been obviously a lot louder if I had windows open up here. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked about this a couple times this week, the contract status of Josh Allen. I don't sort of set up the next part of the show with this, having just had that conversation, as somebody that's just like concerned about it, because I'm not really at all. But I think some people might find it curious that hasn't happened. We've talked about what might be a reason for it already somewhat today. If that's something that sort of is gnawing at you, 803-0550, or if you think it's crazy that it would gnaw at anybody, you can reach us and say that, whatever. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, back after sports on WGR. Good news, it's Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet us at WGR550 and use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day for a chance to win a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Jim's Steakout celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs. How many of each do you think you've eaten in 40 years? That's not in the copy. That's just I've transitioned.
Real low numbers of chicken finger subs, I would say. It's just not something I don't dislike them, but I think I like other things more. So if I am of the mind to order from Jim's Steakout, which we did pretty recently, and everything we got was excellent, steak hoagies definitely in the hundreds.
Hundreds, right?
Hundreds, yeah.
Now try to picture like hundreds of steak hoagies in one picture, in one place.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've eaten that many.
Yeah.
Like 500 steak hoagies.
How many gallons of Rachel's dill sauce have you eaten?
Well, similarly, that's usually not my go-to there. So, not many no gallons.
I'm no longer enjoying this exercise.
Ounces.
Just trying to just imagine
the gallons
fitting hundreds of steak hoagies in the room I'm sitting in. Like, would they
into your
fit?
Body?
Like, just wow. I think I'm gonna.
Well, what do you think you've eaten the most in your life?
Of anything?
Yeah.
Crap. No.
That's a great question.
Pizza is a real easy answer, and it might be the right answer.
I'm not even a big pizza eater, and I feel like pizza might be my answer too.
Right. Yeah.
We had pizza again last night. Just, you know, we're late. Like, options are thin as far as like getting something delivered. We didn't prepare for stuff in the house, and like, okay, what are we gonna do? All right, well, there we go. That's it. pizza, here it comes. It'll be here in 30 minutes. That's
it. It might be, and apples might be my answer.
Apples.
Mm. I mean, I ate an apple every day for over a decade, and I still eat them like a few times a week.
I'm thinking that like if pizza, if you eat four pieces of pizza at a time, that's one time eating pizza. If you eat an apple, that's one time eating an apple.
Right.
Just a time eating something.
You're not going by ounces or pounds.
The amount of pizza that you would pile into your body at one sitting is like 2 weeks of apples.
Yeah, I'm not talking tonnage here. I'm not talking tonnage. I'm talking just like, I'm having this.
What's the count?
Yeah, what's the count? I'm having this today. I'm eating an apple right now. I'm having pizza today. What else would it be? Like a sandwich, a certain type of sandwich?
No, it varies too much. You can't say sandwich.
You can't just say, right.
Right, no.
You can't just say sandwich.
No.
Right.
Cereal?
I don't think you can just say cereal.
It's definitely not even close for me. It's definitely not cereal.
I eat a fair amount of cereal, but I still don't think it touches pizza.
Ice cream?
No, I try to control that. I'm aggressive about controlling that.
I have a sweet tooth, so cookies. Cookies could be in play for me.
You and cookies. Oh, get out of here.
You were the only person on earth that doesn't like cookies.
I've never had a good one. No. Come on.
You got so many.
Never had a good one. No. It's not even the same as they're not good. I've never even had one that was good.
No, they're just like, at best, they're fine. They're not bad. They're not always bad, but there's just no room for a cookie.
I mostly feel this way about cake.
I'm turning against cake.
Cake. Good for you, Joe. Welcome to Team Anti-Cake, the Anti-Cake Coalition. We had a conversation last week. I went out and met my friends, and we were on a patio on Elmwood, and we ended up in a conversation about cake. That the next morning, one of the group texted and said, "Do you think anybody heard us talking as loudly and aggressively as we were about cake and thought maybe there was something wrong with us?" And I pondered that for a minute, and I'm like, well, it could be. I mean, I don't know. It was boisterous.
I just never feel good after.
Right.
And like, it's good, but it's not, it's good, but it's not good enough to me.
Enough to be worth the whatever amount of calories it is you're pouring into your body and sugar and
it's
everything
else.
It's so funny. Like, to me, that is a losing equation, and that is something that when I said it, like, I'm aggressively trying to control my ice cream intake, what I mean by that is if someone in our house says, "I want to go for ice cream, do you want anything?" I say no.
Yeah, but, like, do you do this? Ice cream, cake, when it's something you don't want, you just don't want it. It's not, there's no struggle at all to not want it. You're not torn at all. You just want it. Yeah. Do you do this? Do you be like, I shouldn't? And then, like,
you
come off looking good there. Like, oh, this guy, he is made of steel. He has the resolve and the discipline to not get the cake.
I shouldn't is a sham.
It is a shame.
If you're going to cave anyway, like have some conviction. If you know it's bad for you and you don't want it and you had it last week or something, then say no. Not I shouldn't, but okay, good. I mean, of course it's good.
I shouldn't is for the room. It's for show. It's an act.
Right.
Like, yeah. I
get out of here.
You know, then the cake appears and someone is cutting it. Like, I think of my sister Betsy for this. Like, for some reason, I associate her with, like, maybe it's a birthday party and she's cutting the cake and she'll be like, "Mike?" And, like, sometimes it's like, "No, thanks." What I'm really thinking is I would never eat it. And then maybe other times I'll be like, "You know what? I really shouldn't. I'll have five beers by the time it takes to cut." Like, I really shouldn't. You know, I've already had enough beer. I really got to call Yahtzee on this. I got to stop somewhere. Right. I'll pass.
I just think the cake equation to me, there are exceptions. I mean, there are, you know, all cakes are not created equal. So, of course, there are cakes that I like more than other cakes. But generally speaking, you're at a party and someone says, you know, "What, you want some cake?" And No. You know what? I'll have a bowl of ice cream. Just some ice cream. I don't want the cake. But I'm down on cake. I just don't. It's not worth it to me.
Do you want
ice cream? No. Do you have any pizza logs? That I'd eat.
Right.
That I would eat.
Throw some of those in the microwave for me.
If you're really doling out treats, I have no interest in the cake or the ice cream, and maybe not even the pie. There are good pies, but you know what? I'll have a pizza log or two. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'll take a tuna sub. That's what I'll take.
A tuna sub instead. No, would you like some cake? No. Do you have any tuna subs sitting around?
How about a hoagie?
I see. Yeah, there's that leftover chicken finger sub in the fridge. I'll take that.
This is still the read. This is still the hoagie hump day music should still be up. This is still the read.
It's all the read.
Good tweet answers, by the way. We've eaten the most of ever. I think French fries is a good.
Oh, it is good.
I think French fries might be it
because it comes with everything.
Right. Sandwiches, burgers.
Do you ever do them at home?
Sometimes. I'm starting to in the oven. Yeah. Just buy a frozen bag, throw them in when you're having burgers on the grill.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Fries are a good answer. Greg Bauk texts me, Crab Rangoon is his answer. I don't think he's being serious.
I do.
Eggs is in contention. For
I have had Crab Rangoon with Greg, and I'm sure he wanted it prepared a certain way, and I ignored him.
Oh, as well you should.
Do you know that story, Joe?
I don't think so.
I love this story. I think it's bad on my part, but I love it. Maybe that's why I love it. Greg and his wife. You know the story, Bulldog?
Oh, yes. I know it very. I could tell it, but you should tell it.
I had Greg written down to mention right here about something else, by the way, so this is funny.
That's so funny that he texted me then. Yeah. All right.
About the coffee, because we have Dan Campbell and how much coffee he drinks in the morning. And didn't Greg used to talk about like drinking 6 or 8 cups of coffee a day?
Yeah, he drank coffee out of a big black plastic gas station mug like all day.
All the time. Trump. Yeah, yeah. Like he would not even be impressed with Dan Campbell. He's like, that's nothing.
Right.
But the other story is he and his wife came over for dinner one night at my house with my wife and me. And do you remember the time when I ordered the Nolan Ryan steaks?
Right, yep.
So, Joe, this was like my collecting frenzy era. Like, I was just buying and selling and the hobby, all of that. It was just like, kind of like fantasy is now in my life. It was just like the thing for me, you know, pedal down. And it was, I think Jeff at Bases Loaded probably had this, he found out about it, like NolanRyanBeef.com or something. Like there was a deal where if you bought X amount of steaks, you got an apron, like a Nolan Ryan apron and an autographed ball. And so, like for $100 or $99, you got X amount of beef, an apron and an autographed ball. So I jumped on that. The ball, by the way, later was sold to Stan Van Gundy. That's a different part of this story.
Okay. Right.
The ball ended up, it was sold to somebody else who then sold it to Stan Van Gundy. So I bought the Nolan Ryan steaks deal, but my wife's a vegetarian and I didn't need, you know, let's get some friends over and do this on the grill. So Greg and Tracy came over and, you know, I'm all excited. I got the apron on. I got the Nolan Ryan apron on, maybe a chef's hat or something, you know, just all decked out. Like, okay, how do you want your steak? Well done. No. I refuse. I will not destroy a Nolan Ryan steak. And now it was like Nolan Ryan steak, which is probably super cheap because I got an autographed ball and an apron with it.
Right.
Now
it was not like the best steak ever or anything.
Right.
But you know, whatever.
But now it had this vault, this high status, and we invite him over. You ask them how they want their steaks done, and then just refuse to oblige them. Because well done is, no, I am not going to murder this thing. I just will not. I just won't. I will not do it. I will not do it. And I think I made the wrong call, like socially, but, you know, really the right call. And I think I would do the same thing 15 years later. I think I would. I think I would. I'd be like, I'm just not going to destroy this nice piece of meat. You have to pick a different answer, which makes me a terrible host.
Do you remember what happened? I don't. Like, did you cook it, like, medium-ish or something?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And give it to him, and, like, what did he do? Did he spit it out at you? Like, what?
I don't remember him doing that, you know.
Straight in the garbage.
I think where we did have common ground was in one area. We both knew it was content.
Right.
We both are here for the content. Like, this will be fun to
argue about tomorrow. I just would not cook the steak the way he wanted. Yep. No.
I would have wanted to do the same thing you did, but there's no way I would have done the same thing you did. I wish I could have. Depends on the person. Maybe there's certain friends they're comfortable enough with, then maybe I would do it. Because you can't kill it.
Well done, steak orderers. Just like, what do you do? What can you say? Right? Like, what can you do with them? What can you do? No.
What you can do is not invite them over for steak ever again.
That's right.
Have chicken.
Because I think what I'm like Joe. I think I remember being really hard on you about it because Greg was a guest in your house, and I'm also looking for content. So I think I probably was bludgeoning you about it at the time. But I think what I would probably do is cook it the way they want and make a note to myself, don't ever get steak for this person ever again. Because yeah. we don't do it a lot, but when we do it, like Dash's has really nice steaks, and they're not, you know, it's you're laying out some money to get that meat and serve it. And if I felt like I got to cook it well done for this person, this guest, I'm going to do it once, but I am never doing it again because I feel like I just lit $20 on fire.
You cook it to their liking and then you bill them.
Right.
What I should have done. I should have done it the way I would have cried. My tears would have been in the meat.
Right.
But then I could have sent him a bill for the steak. Care of Nolan Ryan Beef.
Right.
Care of. It's been too long since I've used care of. Joe doesn't know how to write a check. He's not going to know what care of means.
Nope.
Hoagie Hump Day continues. We'll take a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I expect to see improvement. Well, they expect to see improvement because they're talking about players in their second year. They make a big leap, and Tua, you know, now has more weapons around him, an offense that is basically catered to him as opposed to last year when the offense was catered to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's got more experience. But improvement is one thing. Elite is a whole three levels above improvement, and that's what he would need to be for the Dolphins to really, you know, matter.
Interesting. And for it to work out long term, I would say. Armando Salguero on our morning show today. Check it out, WGR550.com or the Odyssey app. Warren Sharp had a neat stat on the Dolphins that I didn't know. I think we knew last year, I can think of, we talked about it a lot. Sal often brought up, like, the Dolphins, the season they were having was kind of fluky for how they were winning. You know, turnovers had a lot to do. One game against the Rams, they were badly outgained. The plays were just incredible toward the Rams, but the Dolphins won the game. Warren had that the Dolphins last year, 2020 Miami, that's the first defense to have a takeaway in every game since 2012.
Yeah, I saw that.
Pretty good. So
yep.
That and a couple other reasons that he cited would have him thinking, and I would go along, that there should be some regression with Miami, but maybe on offense they compensate for that or even
right, yeah.
Outdo
yeah.
It.
He made that point about the defense, but also talked about in the clip that I saw, like the adjustments that the offense should make for Tua, and seem to be making for Tua that weren't there last year, and so he seemed kind of bullish on Tua. At the same time,
yep.
Pointing out that the defense was, you know, pretty fortunate.
Yep. Miami at New England, week one. Who do you like? Are you still on Mac Jones for that game?
I mean, I'm not going to back away from the bet, but it's not sounding that promising this week. You know, there's, although, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, it's summer. This stuff is just, it just flows like water. Last week there were, you know, veterans are already impressed with Mac Jones, and there's whispers that Newton, blah, 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 doesn't have it. Excuse me. This week, and like today even, seems all about Josh McDaniels and Belichick talking about him being another year in the system, and he looks much better. So I don't, that could be just propping up the veteran. But, you know, I'll go down with the Mac Jones. We'll start the opener ship. I mean, I have the bet, so, but it's not been a good few days for me, I don't think.
You just don't know whether you should put any stock into it.
Right. It all could be garbage. Yeah, exactly.
The Bills walk in as the solid favorite, if not overwhelming. I don't think they're quite overwhelming, but they're a solid favorite in the division. Really well set up to have a great season. What is the best division in the NFL? As 2021 comes closer, we'll discuss that. And, you know, other things. The Twitter poll is, or the Twitter question, it's not quite a poll. The Twitter question is great. What's the thing you've eaten the most of in your life? A couple good ones on there that I hadn't thought of. Rice and popcorn.
Not contenders for me. I like popcorn, but there's no way I've eaten more of it than anything else.
Same. Maybe if you really liked going to the movies, popcorn could move up to the top of the list. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back after sports on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.